listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no jive. At second hands, my mom's bounced on old men, so we moved to the Shaolin Land. A young youth, rocking the gold tooth, low goose. Only way I began to G off was drug loot.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we are in the house on a Tuesday. Big Tuesday, man. You know, favorite, one of the favorite days of the week. Cause it's the day that we've been recapping The Walking Dead lately. Of course, you guys should recognize the voice that you hear to start the show. If you're premium, you definitely recognize them. And on like 50 million nerd offs and whatnot. If you're not premium, he's still been on a lot of shows. I mean, you know, it's my man Sterling from the Gaming and Then Some podcast, aka Wound God on Twitter. What's going on?
Hey man, just happy to be here. Yo, I'm happy to be in the big league. Yo, you keep me down in the basement with premium, and I'm happy. Yo, like you feed me dog food, and it's cool. I say thank you for my name, Wound God. Yo,
I always felt like the premium was the big leagues, and this was just normal. But I can see how I get opposite way too. You know,
it's both, yo. I just love having niggas be offended by me, and way more niggas can get offended by me here than premium.
That is true. It was a lot of, I've seen the letters, from when I say shit. So, anyway, you guys, email Sterling if he says anything problematic this, today. So yeah, man, first of all, what's going on with Gaspod, dog?
Dog, all right. So we're in that weird transition phase of niggas be going like the whole premium route. So it's fun. By fun, I mean hell. So what we're doing now is we're actually adding a radio station to what we're doing because I don't like work and I got to figure out a way because, like, you know, like premium, especially when you pay for it or just have it in general, is something that you love as a podcast listener because it's that extra just oomph to get you through the week. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're caught up on shit, which is the worst thing in the fucking world. You need old episodes, and I can't be uploading all the old episodes because I just don't have the time about to, you know, going through with another surgery and everything. So I said, instead, I'm just going to make it a radio station that is streaming just constantly everything we've ever done, including, like, Slack Society, things like that. Mm. And then to really just make it even better, decide to throw some music in there from artists that are in our actual, like, black podcast community, like Fell 5 and stuff.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's It's dope. We got like actual exclusive music that you can only find on WGATS, which is fucking awesome. And still trying to figure out exactly how we want to do the whole premium thing. And besides that, we're doing a meetup in Philly on the 26th of this month over at Amalgam, hopefully. So it's been lit.
Are y'all calling it Gatsgiving, or is it too late for the branding?
It might be too late, yo. It might be too late.
Gatsgiving would have been good.
yo, I have a dream to hand out turkeys like Nino Brown, so.
So
we might have to do this.
I'm also surprised that WGATS wasn't already taken by a gangster hip hop station. They blew up.
Yo,
they blew that.
It's the worst. When niggas remind me that it really is Gats, I be like, damn, yo, I couldn't keep being a hood nigga for a minute, yo. It was just supposed to sound good. It just sound like we that real radio station that really loves guns. Like I feel like after tonight we're gonna have a real. What'd you say, Karen?
I said you don't get a lot of them. You don't get a I was listening to your radio station there, son. Mm-hmm. There's nothing on here about no AK-47s.
Yeah, we gonna blow up if Trump wins tonight, so it's lit.
So yeah, man, make sure y'all checking out Gaming and Then Some, man. It's a whole collective of people from over there too. It's not just Sterling. And like you said, they got Slacker Pod over there. And of course, you know, Sterling, like I said, super nerd, comes on the Nerd Off with me and Chris and Aaron and sometimes Karen, and you know, I gotta start moving around getting different people on, but it's, you know, like it's a gaggle of nerds, man, and we always have fun. It's always such an informative show between all the ratchetness, man, so make y'all enjoy it. Of course, Also, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search the Blackout Tips. We'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews. We'll read them on the air as long as they're not mean. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet
ball. And bullet ball extreme.
and of course, today's podcast is sponsored. That's right, guys. Today's podcast is actually sponsored by Adam and Eve. Oh yeah, I should probably
cue up some music.
Yeah, that should have been a professional show would have done that already instead of instead of looking through this shit at the last second like I'm doing. But thank God, you know, y'all have me here. Okay, cool. I'll go with this song. But yeah, so Adam and Eve is trying to hook y'all up. Sterling, I'm about to play music, so you might not be able to hear anything for about a minute or so.
That's cool. I'm just going to slow grind in my imagination.
All right. Let me play this song. Let me close this. That's slow. That's right. Adam and Eve is trying to hook your punk ass up. Mm-hmm. You've been loving that computer a little too long. It's time to get out and love some people and love each other. Go to adamandeve.com. And for a limited time only, they will offer you half off of just about any item. All you got to do to get half off of just about any item is go to adamandeve.com. And in the checkout box, put TBGWT. In addition to your half off, these fools are going to give you free adult DVDs plus a free exclusive gift. It might be a Power O vibrating ring. Sound like something Luke Cage will wear. And free shipping on your entire order. I really don't understand why you wouldn't want to do that. Go there, pick out a nice piece of lingerie or one of those ergonomic pillows so you can beat the pussy up without hurting nobody. Just, you know, do whatever y'all do, you know, and then it could be a sexy toy or whatever. And then you, when you go check out, put in TBGWT in the checkout code and you get that 50% off. You get 3 free adult DVDs plus a free exclusive gift. So make sure you guys do that. AdamandEve.com. Play me out. They don't know nothing about that. We back, Sterling. So yeah, we of course have Walking Dead stuff to get to, and that's really what everybody comes for, because you know, this show always gets a lot of downloads every week. It's almost like people be lying when they say they stop watching. I don't know. It's almost as if you would almost think people was full of shit, but I'm not saying that they full of shit.
I'm not saying that they are too. And unlike your favorite TV shows like The Flash and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we will not take off election night.
Right. Mm-hmm. We gonna keep going because this might be the last show we ever get to do.
Ain't that the truth?
In a free America. So
we
gonna
might
keep,
be banned.
We gonna keep going. So let's just do what everybody here came for us to do. Oh, yes. That's right. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, America. It's time to play the game that you all hate to play every Tuesday because you just want to talk about Walking Dead. It's fucking with black people. Well, you don't know how long it's going to go. So how long should you skip for? I don't know, because we just going to be talking about being fucked with, because that's the toll that you got to pay to hop on this bridge of joy. Today's contest is everybody. All right. Let's see who's fucking with black people today. Here's one. Exclusive. A black Christian producer has sued CNN. Because his colleagues kept saying, Jesus Christ. And Ashley Banfield asked if African-American were a lost generation. African-American men were a lost generation. That is a rare thing to see in America, Christian discrimination.
You know how we be discriminating against them Christians.
You know how it is. Ask Starbucks. A black Christian associate producer who was fired from CNN is suing his former employer, accusing them of racial and religious discrimination. Omar Butcher, an African American, says he was targeted after complaining about his colleagues using profane language such as Jesus Christ and goddamn.
A lot of people are gonna be arrested then.
Bruh.
Not shit, not ass. I mean.
Okay. He claims he was fired the day after he emailed anchor Ashley Banfield, expressing concerns after she asked him in an on-air segment whether society had lost a generation due to the violence in the African-American community. He also complained about the promotions of white colleagues. Butcher has filed a lawsuit against the cable network in Atlanta, Georgia, according to documents submitted Thursday and seen exclusively by DailyMail.com. Oh, man, some of his pictures. Guys, you guys. I have to show these in the chat room. My God. Like, these pictures look like, listen, I'm not going to say that he was going to shoot up the job, but the things he's saying reminds me of that black dude that shot up them two anchors live on the air last year. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Where he was like, these white people is getting promotions and they all hate me and this racist up in here. And you're like, this dude never sounded too stable and they fired him and then he shot everybody up. And he was a black dude. Now this picture, this one's fine. Picture with the hat, no problem. This picture, him with the gun, making that face.
Oh.
At the shooting range.
Oh.
Mm-mm. See, you don't fire this guy. You don't hire him either though. That was the problem. you don't give that dude a job anyway. In the documents, he describes himself as an African-American and a devout Christian who worked at CNN from 2010 until he was fired in July last year. Butcher says he became increasingly troubled by certain members of his team using profane language such as Jesus Christ and goddamn. He writes that he emailed his team asking them to not take the Lord's name in vain in his presence. But he said, yeah. But he says his email did not stop the behavior and he believes they increase their use of the language to further harass him. I mean, okay, see, this is one of those times when I identify with the harassers, so it's probably wrong for me to laugh at this man, but I definitely would have stepped
it
up.
It ain't wrong.
You're not a moral barometer. I can't be using you.
What you talking about?
we can't be going by
Sterling standards.
Those standards are pretty
low.
I'm a decent,
upstanding citizen.
But yeah, I definitely would have probably increased because to me it would be a joke. Then I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to say Jesus Christ. Nah, dog. Things got so bad that during a meeting, he walked out because the team wouldn't stop despite his pleas. He claims.
They were saying that at each other. They was like, Jesus Christ, Rod.
Would you guys cut it out? Come on, guys.
God damn it. Let's get it together, team.
Jesus Christ.
He just over there sweating in the corner, shaking uncontrollably and shit.
Right. Ooh, he said the JC word. Ooh.
I know. I can see him trolling. I'm trying to get control of this goddamn meeting. Jesus Christ, guys.
Gosh darn it. See, I didn't even say it. He says things got so bad that didn't mean he walked out. He claims after he walked out, he says the vice president of Dayside programming told him that if he did it again, there would be repercussions. He also says that in March and April last year, he expressed concerns to HR about a colleague's obvious negative sounding comment about the increase in African-American voices on our air and the hostile and negative climate at the company. In July, he says he was extremely troubled about racially insensitive remarks made by CNN anchor Ashley Banfield. Have we lost a generation? Banfield asked during an on-air segment regarding violence in the African-American community. She also asked whether there's an entire group out there that cannot be managed or cannot be changed, that cannot be reached. They just have to age and die. Butcher sent Banfield a private email which he explained his issues and noted that she did not make similar remarks in a segment about young white males who kill. Banfield fired back and questioned whether he was suggesting that she was a racist. Ooh, they love that. And said she would take it up with their bosses. She copied his senior manager on the email. Now, see, that does seem fucked up. For him to just be like, hey, look, let me tell your coach that this is kind of messed up. Well, let me copy in the boss. You trying to say I'm a racist? Is that what you're saying? A day after that,
where it fucks up when you're already the problematic employee, because he had some right there.
See, yeah, I know, right? Like, that's when you have to wish you weren't the Jesus Christ guy, because you had a legitimate like work discrimination case on race.
Yes, you did.
But then when you muddy it up with, man, you can't even say goddamn around this dude. It's like, oh yeah, you gonna lose. Anyway, one day after he wrote that email, he was terminated. That sounds like an open shut case, right?
Right.
He gonna get something out of it, yeah.
Right? You go from a regular ass employee to you say one thing like, hey, this sound kind of racist, to you fired. CNN, of course, didn't respond to for comment. He claims he also missed out on promotion opportunities because of his race. He says he was regularly praised for his work with the company, but despite his ability, white colleagues were promoted ahead of him. In 2011, another associate producer, a white male with less experience, was given more access to writing segments, and just a few months later was promoted to a position which Butcher had applied for. Mr. Butcher was not even interviewed for this position, the document claims. In 2012, he joined Inside Pitch, a CNN program where employees pitch, produce, and write their own stories. Butcher had his work featured on the air and was praised for it. Despite the obvious high quality of his work, Mr. Butcher applied for 3 writer-producer jobs in 2012, for which he was qualified, and all 3 positions were awarded to white individuals. Mr. Butcher did not even receive an interview, he claimed.
I believe that. Yeah, now, the Jesus Christ part, okay. But this, I believe every word he's saying with this right here.
Well, you know what I wonder is, was it also just that he was the Jesus dude too? Mm-hmm. Where it was like, at this point, we don't even want to deal with you on that level, let alone anything dealing with race. Right, like, we don't want you around because you're vocally saying that this shit is problematic.
And it was like, we don't want you coming over here fucking with the team, dog. No.
So he basically says he contacted HR to ask about the process for internal candidates and requested training on multiple occasions to no avail. He even came in on his days off because he was not given the paid training and opportunities to gain access to the paid training his white counterparts received. The company never adequately addressed Mr. Butcher's concerns about the suspicious hiring and training process. When a senior employee volunteered to help train Butcher on his days off, the vice president of Dayside Programming, John Antonio, told Butcher to stand down on the matter and to pursue training through proper training protocols. Ah, so they were basically freezing his ass out. Like, oh yeah, you can't take that class yet. You got to be a Sigma 6 to get that promotion, but we ain't got no Sigma 6 class spots available at the moment.
They gonna have to pay that man
something. He also claims he was unfairly targeted for an HR investigation into his timesheets and departure times. He says the VP of programming told him, you better watch out, which he construed as a threat. Butcher is suing for racial and religious discrimination and for retaliation by CNN after he complained about the hostile work environment. He's seeking full back pay from the day he was terminated, reinstatement of his former position with the same pay grade, and front pay to compensate him for future wages, benefits, and pension, and compensatory and punitive damages, along with his attorney fees. 0 to 100, Karen.
Well, I get about a 50.
50 for Karen. What about you, Sterling?
See, I gotta give it 100, yo. Because you fuck with him, he a nigga. Now, I normally wouldn't fuck with you with all the Jesus shit.
Right.
But I gotta get that white woman solidarity.
Okay.
Yeah, that is good.
I hear you. I think I'm gonna go with 75. Cause like, he got an open and shut case of racial discrimination. Mm-hmm. But he muddied it with the Jesus shit, so I gotta take 25 off, cause he gonna make it easy for them to be like, it wasn't even about that. I mean, we can't even say goddamn. Mm-hmm. Now, what would be interesting though, if he was Muslim, and they were saying stuff like, you know, making jokes about Muhammad or something, I think he would have a case. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I don't think goddamn's gonna get it. For religious discrimination shit, everybody gonna be suing in. Also, I don't think you should be able to sue if people can say the words on an episode of Martin. I'm sorry. United Airlines kicked a passenger off the plane because she had a Marvel superhero hat. I believe it was she. I hope I'm not messing this up. Let me look into it. A passenger wearing a Black Panther baseball cap has been told to remove the headgear because, along with a t-shirt with an upside down American flag, it made the pilot uncomfortable.
You fucking flying the plane. What the fuck I got to do with that?
I'm uncomfortable. Earlier today, freelance esports journalist Amanda Stevens shared images on Twitter from onboard a United Airlines flight to Chicago. Stevens was en route to cover the League of Legends quarterfinals, but was told by flight staff that her shirt, an A$AP Rocky shirt pulled from stores a year ago, and a baseball cap with the logo of Marvel Comics Black Panther made the pilot uncomfortable. Then there was like a big back and forth on Twitter about it. She got kicked off the flight. They tried to smooth things over, but apparently, you know, she ended up stuck there for a while. Apparently United representative first raised concerns that she was preparing to board the flight. Stevens told me that she's flown in the outfit before, but turned the shirt inside out. She was then told that the hat was a concern as well. She was allowed to board the plane, but had a tense exchange with an attendant who asked her to place her bag under the seat in front of her. I didn't know if I was going to be staying on the plane or not. I said that. I was grumbling because I was frustrated. Stevens then told me that the exchange with the flight attendant was given as the reason that she was ejected from the flight. Stevens says that she received a direct message from the official United account on Twitter and returned to the service counter at the gate under the assumption that she'd be getting booked on the next flight. However, the United employees told that Stevens was dealing with retreated to an employees only area, and Stevens told me that she's been waiting with no acknowledgement for more than 2 hours. We reached out to United for a comment. We'll update the reply. And I guess United responded later on, but you know, obviously didn't get a flight right away. 0 to 100, Karen.
No, that's a goddamn 100.
Okay, that's Jesus Christ. Damn. What about you, Sterling?
Oh, that's another 100. They fucking with it.
All right, yeah, that's 100 for me. Good God, a Black Panther hat?
Right.
It's a comic book. It's not even like it was the Black Panthers, like, you know what I'm saying? Like the civil rights group.
That's probably what they would think, because they're fucking dumbasses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. All right. Let's give these motherfuckers what they want. we know why they really came here. Sterling, I'm about to play the Walking Dead theme song, so you might not hear anything. That's right, we are back. It is The Walking Dead season 7 episode 3 called The Cell. I guess the general consensus of this episode would be we find out what happened to Daryl after he's taken hostage by the saviors, and we also get to see the life of Dwight, a day in the life of Dwight, the guy with the scarred up face who Daryl let go in the woods that time. Mm-hmm. And we get to see the inner workings of the compound that the saviors have. Some people call it the sanctuary. Karen, I'll start with you first. What'd you think about this episode in general?
I loved it.
Karen loved it. All right. Sterling?
I thought it was a necessary episode. I just didn't really care about it. Like, I don't give a fuck about Daryl. I wish he was dead.
Not a fan of Daryl. And for me, I liked it because, I did want to see the inner workings of the saviors. And, you know, as compared to the book, like how they changed, what changes there were. Cause none of the shit that's gone down with the saviors has really been by the book. Mm-mm. So I wanted to see if there were some different workings in their ecosystem. And there appears to be some differences.
Yes.
I did want to see what was up with Daryl as well. But I'm not a huge Daryl fan, but I know people love that dude. to the point where people was like, if they kill Daryl, I'm gonna quit this show and shit like that.
You know, like, well, you might be quitting because he is one of the characters where he's important, but you could get rid of him and the storyline just moves on.
Yeah, well, anyone but but Rick and his son pretty much feel.
Yeah, I wish they expendable. Definitely killed him.
Yeah, well, you know how we do here, guys. We'll go scene by scene. We'll kind of break this down and give you our thoughts, and then we'll get into some feedback and wrap this bad boy up. So we opened up with a montage of Dwight, who was sitting in his room watching Who's the Boss on VHS while sipping on moonshine. So here's the thing. It's weird that we know the Z-Pac happened in 2010, but they already down the VHSs instead of all the disc scratched. What's going on with the disc?
Probably
the
all scratched up.
You know them. You know they fucked up.
Mm-mm. Nah, cause see, it's easier to transport disc. So I would be pretty upset if I was down to just VHSs, cause that's gotta be some hard scavenging. You go places looking for VHSs instead of CDs and DVDs. That's a lot, you know?
All the DVD players probably broke.
I guess so. I don't know. If y'all were stuck in the zombie apocalypse, okay, he was watching what appeared to be a Who's the Boss tape. What would y'all want to have on in your VHS tape that you were going to be watching? Karen?
I tell me like a Fox TV show?
Well, just, yeah, whatever. TV show, movie. What would you want?
I would probably, I love Martin, so I probably watch Martin on repeat.
One of them 8-hour Martin tapes off of it. Okay. What about you, Sterling?
Booty Talk 23.
23. Okay.
23.
I would have went with 31. Caramel versus Justice Slayer was an epic scene. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to each their own. To each their own. Yeah, I mean, I think if I had to do one show, oh man, I think I would go with Living Color. If I could have
that's
just
a good one.
The Living Color joints. If it was a movie or something, it's probably gonna be like half baked because I've already watched it a million times. I'd be saying that shit like Will Smith new Shrek and fucking in that movie where he was the last man and shit. anyway, Dwight also plays some fake ass air hockey with some lady. And the loser apparently takes shots, and she drank some shots.
Yes, she did.
I don't know if she drank the shots because she was like, I gotta fuck this ugly, scar-faced ass dude, or if she just took the shots because she was just like, I lost the game. What did you think, Karen?
She was like, you might actually beat me if I beat you, so I'm gonna go ahead and take this L.
What? No. Oh, you think she lost on purpose. Mm-hmm. But what about drinking the shots, though? Because, you know, that was... Karen don't drink, y'all. I'm sorry. For people that go out to the bar and shit, like, if you play certain games, it's drinking games. So it's like, when you lose, you take a shot. And that's what it looked like to me. Like, she lost to him, and then she had to take a shot. But I didn't know if she was going to sleep with him or something, but it didn't seem like it. Mm-hmm. He also carves wooden figures, which seems like the worst, nerdiest hobby to have. Because who you going to trade with? You know what I mean?
Tell him, but he ain't got no reason. He ain't trying to make no money.
Like, you collect wooden figures, but like, who, you know, nobody walks in and be like, oh, can I get, can you make me one? Like, it don't, you know, at any rate, he makes wooden figures.
Yeah, I mean, cause you probably have hours on hours on hours of just nothing to do. So you would probably find the weird and strange hobby to fill that time up.
Watch some more Who's the Boss? Mm-hmm. He also went down to the market, which looked kind of like a flea mall or something. And from the way it looked, he appears to just take what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it, and it wasn't no sneaky shoplifting shit. It was like, look you in your eye and be like, my bread, bitch. And then walk away.
And everybody looked mad too, but they was like, I'll do it cause I don't want to deal with you.
And it was one dude that seemed like he had quite a damn enough, because he took his shirt off, which,
right,
according to all the rules of my life, that's fighting time.
Yep.
Yeah, he had enough of this. He was like, fuck y'all.
Anybody take their shirt off in non-fighting situations, that mean they want to fight,
right?
Like, it's not, as long as it's not a sexual situation, if they just yank their shirt off, it's not too many places where you could just yank your shirt off in the middle of an argument and right. It's not gonna be a fight.
It's not gonna be a brawl.
Unfortunately for Shirt Buddy, he got his ass whooped by about 4 or 5 people that was like, oh, you think you tough?
He was outnumbered.
Stomped all the way the fuck out.
Yeah, he was stomped the yard for him. so he got stomped. And as he gets stomped down, Dwight took down the number 39. Mm-hmm. And then, and the whole time, there was this song playing. It was called A Town Called Malice. It's by, I think it's the name of the actual group is like Called the Jam or something like that. Okay. I'll play some of the song. Like I said, Sterling won't be able to hear it, I don't think, but I'll play it anyway. So I was looking up the lyrics to it. Mm-hmm. Better stop dreaming of the quiet life, because it's the one we'll never know. And quit running for that runaway bus, because those rosy days are few. And stop apologizing for the things you've done, because time is short and life is cruel. Mm. But it's up to us to change this town called Malice. So it seems like this song is kind of about the struggle. Mm-hmm. And about, you know, the hardships of life and whatnot, and the kind of hopelessness of it, and it kind of fit with the way the town was run, because it was like such a harsh town. It was, you know, Dwight just coming through bullying motherfuckers like Debo and shit.
I mean, for real.
At any rate, he writes down this dude's number, 39, goes over to a bed that's marked number 39, and opens up the trunk and starts taking shit out. We saw him take some mustard and some pickles. Mm-hmm. And in this whole montage they're showing with the song playing, he's also making a sandwich. So it's a sandwich montage too, and you see the mustard and the pickles go on the bread that he stole from the lady. So you know, sandwich building up pretty good, you know.
Except for the pickles, like, that was a good ass looking sandwich.
Yeah, you would hold the pickles.
I would definitely hold the pickles.
Okay, all right, cool. I'll just, you know.
I'm not a savage.
Understood. Pickles and egg. I mean, come on.
Nah.
So then he heads to the garden area, and he steals lettuce and tomatoes and some eggs, and
people don't look happy with him doing this shit.
Yeah, and then Negan walks by, and everyone in the garden area gets down on one knee.
Everybody.
Which had some symbolism to it, because it made me think about this. Last week we were introduced to a king, King Ezekiel, and a kingdom, and nobody had to kneel before the king and shit. Like, the leadership style's completely different.
Right, and the thing is, Ezekiel, quote-unquote, calls himself a king, and Negan doesn't call himself a king, but they bow to him as a king.
Right. It's very symbolic, man. The theatrics of leadership on this show always fascinates me.
Did you peep what happened when he kneeled down, though?
How he looked at Negan kind of fast? Yeah.
Yo, look, I'm gonna say it now because I'm here, so I gotta do it.
Yeah.
He gonna kill that nigga.
They gonna kill Negan?
He gonna be the one.
Yeah.
Because, like, Negan, I don't want him to die.
Mm.
At this point, I'd rather Rick just die. Because ain't a nigga better on the goddamn TV than Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Right.
But his whole ego, he has to get killed from within.
Mm. Okay.
Like, Daryl ain't going to do it. Daryl might try to do it, but I think it's going to be a burnt face homie that's going to do it.
So he, so Negan walks by, and everyone kneels. Then we see later, Dwight finally got his sandwich, and he got eggs and lettuce and tomato and pickle and mustard. Say what, Karen?
I said in the montage they showed him frying the egg.
Yeah, he fried the egg. That was his brain on drugs.
Any questions?
Meanwhile, there were some guys in sweaters with different letters on them. F and S were the ones I saw. And they were putting zombies in a fenced in like area with like concrete partitions and stuff, which kind of seems like what the same plan that Morgan had in that town when Rick came to see him. Remember when Rick went to go see Morgan and Morgan was crazy?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it kind of looked like that. Like, no cars can run up on you, people can't just walk through without walking through these zombies, and it seemed like that was their job, was to arrange these zombies on the fence area so that they would protect the compound somehow.
Right.
Now, what I'm guessing is that is the route into the heart of the compound. Right. And so they make, in case anyone try to run up on them, you got to go through that, is my assumption. Because it didn't seem, it seemed like it was fences on both sides, so that maybe it was like you can't get in any other way but you than this, so you got to walk through this shit. Either that, or maybe they use it to kill people and shit, I don't know. But it didn't seem like the kind of thing where if somebody was like an armed person or something would have a problem getting through there necessarily. It seemed like the kind of thing where you couldn't run through in a hurry and it would slow people down.
Yeah, no, you end up losing most people, or like,
and you couldn't drive a car through there either.
Right. Or a lot of times, unless you're gonna go in and just stab them up one by one, you probably be seen by the end, because you come in, you shoot your bullets, they're gonna hear them, you know. You, it's almost impossible to do any type of stealth moves.
Yeah. So they're running around doing that, and Dwight is just eating his sandwich and watching them, and then he becomes fixated on this one walker that's skewered, and it's like trying to get up and falling down and trying to get up and falling down. And you know, did you think that was symbolic of anything while he was watching that one walker, Karen?
No, it may have been, but I didn't get it.
Sterling, did you think it was symbolic of anything?
Yeah, I think he looked at that like it was him.
See, I think it was an allegory for raising your daughters to keep them off the pole, but because the zombie was stuck on the pole, and no matter how hard it tried to get off the pole, it just kept,
it was stuck.
It needed help, it needed the love of a good man in its life to get self-esteem, but it was stuck there. Don't write me, it's a joke, guys. Then we see Dwight, when we come back from commercial, he's taking some dog food out of a can and slaps it on two pieces of bread, making a dog food sandwich. And I was like, damn, nigga ran out of eggs already. That was quick,
real quick.
But we find out that it's the decidedly less appetizing sandwich was being delivered to none other than a naked Daryl Dixon, who's sitting in a cell in a corner in the dark. And Dwight opens the door and hands him the sandwich, and Daryl goes to town on it.
Right, this nigga eats squirrel and rabbit and snake skin. What the fuck is dog meat? Like, I eat
dog
real,
food.
I,
right, I mean, he's eating. Food. He's actually eating real eating dog. Food, yeah. Right.
So I was like, "You ain't tearing up his system. Right. It functions just fine."
He's like, "Man, I've been eating dog food since third grade, dog.
Right. You know, Sunday. You know, I hunt dogs. What are we talking about?
Come on, man." So then, and that's when we go to commercial. And when we come back from commercial, and like I said, Sterling won't be able to hear this, but we come back to a very upbeat song.
This damn song. I was so confused. We're on easy street, and it feels so sweet, 'cause the world is but a treat.
While that song is playing, we get a whole like montage of Daryl getting brought more and more dog food sandwiches. And you know, the whole time I'm thinking, like, is this music like a choice that they made to highlight the monotony of what's going on, until you realize they are actually playing this fucking song every day to fuck with this dude on some, like, you know, Guantanamo torture, I'm sorry, advanced interrogation techniques.
And I didn't realize that first. Because I was like, this is a weird choice of music. Wait a minute. They are purposely and strategically playing this music. This is not like a theme that's rolling in the background and the song gonna change.
Oh, and I'm not gonna front. They picked the perfect song.
Yes,
they really did. Because by the third time they repeated, you're like, yo, you gotta stop this.
Bruh, right? Like, it was on some, like, I got the point. You don't even need to play this the millions of times that Daryl probably heard it. You know? Like, I'm like, is he the only prisoner? Do the guards have to hear this? Because this sucks.
All day, all night, but they never turned that shit off.
Jesus Christ, man. I'm surprised he didn't start singing it when Dwight opened the door. Hey, what's going on, Dwight? I'm on the easy street. Hey,
might as well. Shit.
So yeah, they and then eventually, as he's bringing dog food, he also gives him some clothes and no shoes, and Daryl eventually puts on the clothes, and Dwight shows up with Daryl's crossbow one time and leads him out of the room, and Daryl's shirt has the letter A on it. I think the thing with the letters is, if you have to work your way by earning points or whatever, I think you start at A and then they keep giving you shirts until you get to Z. Cause I mean, why else would he start with A? The other dudes had J, S, D, it's not his name. You see what I'm saying? So my guess is the A is level one and you basically playing an RPG or putting zombies on that fence until you get to Z. And then I guess you get some shoes or something. I don't know what you get, but then you get off the fence.
You know the numbers.
Yeah. So Dwight is taking Daryl to see a doctor. And as they walk into the room where the doctor is finishing up seeing his patient, who happens to be the woman that was with Dwight in the woods, mm-hmm. Who is named Sherry. If people remember, it was like Sherry. I want to say her sister was Tina or something.
Something like that, yeah.
And then Dwight. And going back to that story, it was like Tina had some type of like asthma or some type of weird ass like debilitating disease and she needed medicine for it. And the whole thing was they stole the medicine and left this compound that we had no idea was Negan's compound. We just knew that they were refugees basically. And Daryl basically kind of helped them avoid the people that Negan sent after them by getting a couple of them bit by zombies and shit. In return, Tina ended up dying by accident by walking up on two burned zombies that just happened to still be alive.
Right.
And then Dwight and Sherry got the drop on Daryl and basically stole his bike and his crossbow and drove off. And he said, y'all are gonna be sorry. She said, we're sorry about this. And he was like, you will be. And they drove off like, fuck you anyway. So anyway, that was to catch you up on who Sherry is. Mm-hmm. So Sherry is sitting in the doctor's chair and the doctor's like, all right, well, we're almost wrapped up here. She notices Dwight and she's like, hey, Dwight. And he's like, hey, Sherry. And she goes, Daryl, right? And he goes, don't talk to him. And then Dwight notices on the table, there's a pregnancy test. So she must have been in there to see if she was pregnant. And she says, don't worry, it's negative. And he says, well, maybe next time. Which
that nigga sounded so hurt.
Yeah, it didn't sound the good kind. It's sounded like, ever since I left the city, you. It felt like that kind of maybe next time. It wasn't a positive.
Oh no.
Yeah. So then she walks back over to Daryl and says, whatever they say, do it. And he said, hey, I told you not to talk to him. And the doctor tells Daryl, like, hey, don't worry, Negan's gonna take care of you. They end up leaving, you know. Dwight's taking, oh, go ahead, Karen. I'm sorry.
And while it was in there, the doctor was like, it's kind of hard because now I got to be my own assistant. So apparently his assistant died.
Yeah, somehow his assistant got dealt with,
right?
I don't know.
Like, it's hard for me to do the charts and the x-rays and be the doctor too. Maybe
he's saying he used to have assistants back before zombie apocalypse days.
Right. Because he'd have had somebody would probably have picked and removed that pregnancy test. Like shit wouldn't have just been laying out. But he was like, look, I'm a one man team now.
Negan sees Dwight leading Daryl back to his cell, and he says he needs to talk to Dwight for a second. Dwight sits Daryl down and has a heavyset guy with a gun watch Daryl. The heavyset dude with the gun was so extra, man. He like put the gun all like all over your face,
fucking forehead and shit.
All right, you like, damn nigga, you can shoot me from over there. Can I? I get it. I don't even have shoes. Where the fuck I'm going?
He's like, I'm letting you know right now. I'm lazy at my job, and I'm not gonna run after your ass.
All right. So he puts the gun on him, and Daryl sneaks a peek into this room that's pretty well furnished for a zombie apocalypse. Got bookshelves, and look like this place had a DVD player,
a stove, microwave.
Right, it was pretty nice in there. Dwight comes back and notices Daryl looking in the room, and grabs him and leads him off. He takes Daryl outside, and outside they're watching the same zombie pit fence thing, and Dwight shoots one of the zombies with the crossbow and says, hey, I'm getting pretty good at this thing. And Daryl doesn't say shit, and he takes Daryl and pushes him up against the fence and says, basically, you can either be like me or you could be like them. And I think by them, he's talking about the guys in the sweatshirts, mm-hmm, who are on zombie detail. Mm-hmm. Or you can be like them, and he's talking about the zombies. So, like, right, you can be me, one of these scrubs, or you can die. These are the rules. Like, there's no way out of this. And Daryl just doesn't say shit, because that's just what he is. Back at the cell, Daryl tells Dwight that he's never gonna kneel, and Dwight says, yeah, I said that too. And Daryl said, yeah, I know, because of course he knows, because the motherfucker was out in the woods when he tried to escape before his face was burnt up. So he's like, I remember you were a rebellious spirit, but you know, obviously you kneeling now. And he says, yeah, that's the thing, man, you don't, but you're gonna. So he's like, you really don't know what the fuck you talking about, and Negan will fuck you up so bad that you will kneel. It's basically what he's saying. And as soon as Dwight leaves, this time Daryl actually tried to break out of his room, looked under the door, kicked it, everything. I mean, to no avail. He didn't even have shoes. I don't know what he was kicking that door for. I thought he was gonna fuck his foot up. That would have been funny as hell.
He dumb as hell.
Yeah,
you know, his feet probably made out of rocks, because you know,
that's true.
He used to traveling and hunting barefooted and eating birds and pigeons and shit. I know his feet probably feel like I don't know, something hard, a rock.
Yeah, that's a good point, Karen. I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. Well, my tender little
I wouldn't make it.
College educated feet would have been all fucked up.
I turned a toenail wrong, body over.
Mm-hmm. Right. At any rate, he was stuck in there, and you see that Negan is actually meeting with Dwight, and I guess he heard Daryl trying to kick out the room, and he was like, he is going ape shit, and you are hustling. And they basically had this conversation where Negan is like, you doing a good job trying to break him. It's hard to break him, you know, but you can do it, basically. Dwight's like, yeah, I'm working on it. He's like, you're doing such a good job. Would you like a romp with you know who for old time's sake?
A blast from the past.
Mm-hmm. And motherfucking Dwight's face lost all the poker face of like when you trying to pretend to like somebody you work with, and then they say all lives matter or whatever, and you just have to be like, all right, dog, this conversation's over.
I got to go. My work is calling me.
Yeah, he lost every... Oh, go ahead, Sterling.
Nah, he was just sitting there, man, talking to his coworker. Nigga started talking about that Jesus Christ. He got offended.
Yeah. He basically said, God damn. He was like, come on now. You know I'm religious. But yeah, so he essentially says, you know, like, come on, Negan, why you gotta bring up old shit with his face? But he doesn't say it with his voice. He just is like, He didn't say anything, and Negan goes, I'm just fucking with you, basically. He's like, but seriously, you know, you can sleep with any woman you want to, just as long as they say yes. So even Negan understands consent more than Derrick Rose and Nate Parker, so that's amazing.
Apparently so. Yes means yes in this world.
Even in the Z-Pac, my man believe in confirmative consent. What the hell? But yeah,
he's like, I'm not a savage,
right? He's like, what do you think I am? I hate rape.
Right, now I might bash your head in,
right?
I will
murder
not, right? Yeah,
come on, I'll murder the hell out of somebody,
but we don't rape.
I detest rape. Dwight hesitates, and Negan asks if it's because his dick isn't working, because Dwight is the same person Eugene bit in the dick last season. Mm-hmm. And I love that this is how fragile the male ego is. That was Dwight should have just been like, yeah, that's what it is. And instead he was like, nah, my dick work. I'm purposely turning down this pussy. Like,
he was so fucking confused, yo.
And he was like, well, if your dick work, what's the problem? But yeah, he was like, he's like, but I'm turning it down. He's like, you know, I'm cool. And he said, are you? Are you cool? He was like, I just told you it's happy hour at the pussy bar and Dwight eats for free and you're telling me no? Is that cool? And Dwight said he hadn't earned it yet, but Negan was like, hey, we take what we get here. Like, it's no earn. You take what you earn. And before they can really get into it, they get a hit on the walkie-talkie. Negan yanks it out of Dwight's hand. He's like, what's going on? And they have a code orange. And he says, is it a grab and go? And she says yes, and she says something like, either took the moth, the angel, or the hard way. And he was like, and Dwight says, I'm on it and I'll meet you at the fence. And Negan says, you know, you don't have to do that. You can send Fat Joey. Hell, you know, he's like, let Fat Joey do it. Hell, Lord knows he needs to exercise. And Dwight says, but I like to do it. And Negan kind of liked that. Like, he liked this idea of him saying, basically, I want to take the initiative to go hunt this guy down. And that was the only way he let him off the hook, because it really did feel like in that conversation, Negan was feeling him out to see if he was actually okay with the arrangement of him mm-hmm. and Sherry and all this shit. Mm-hmm. All right, so motherfucker was like, you know, cool, I'm gonna go do it or whatever. And they show him taking Daryl's motorcycle off site. I'm assuming it's Daryl's motorcycle.
Yeah.
You know, there were a few motorcycles there, but I'm assuming he took Daryl's.
Of course.
And I feel like, cause somebody was saying, well, this is stupid. I don't like that he's leaving Daryl alive. I don't like that he's got Dwight, you know, under his wing. But I was thinking about something. It kind of fits the keep my enemies closer type of idea, which is that if somebody does show some buck, it's not like they're valueless. You do want people like that under your employ, but mm-hmm. but they're just people you have to break first. And it seems like that's Negan's thing, because if he went by this zero tolerance, no lip shit, Rick would be dead, fucking Dwight would be dead, Daryl would be dead. Who the fuck, who would watch this show? You know what I mean? Like, but, like, it, obviously he can't be 100% zero tolerance to everything.
Right.
Cause he would like people under his guidance that actually have some level of initiative and they're not just completely inept fucking followers.
That, and also he likes people that are useful. Like, you know, he feels like I have a use for you or a purpose, or you can actually benefit, quote unquote, me or the group, quote unquote.
Right. So that was my theory anyway. I don't like, cause people are like, why are you keeping people alive? I was like, well, it's gotta be that he sees certain people as valuable.
Right. And, killing everybody. Like,
right.
And like you say, like, it would just be him then. Like,
yeah. And the only flaw in these people appears to be that they don't understand that he's the boss. So if he can make them realize, quote unquote, who's the boss, he's good, you know? So at any rate, back at the compound the next day or whatever, Fat Joey is feeding Daryl dog food sandwiches. And, it's not the same.
No.
And he closes the door and you don't hear that familiar lock, although you do hear the song. Like, he definitely hit you with that Easy Street.
Oh, you shouldn't know Fat Joe's gonna be the one fucking up. Nah, you shouldn't have been on duty, dog.
So Daryl walks through the compound looking for a way out, basically. Mm-hmm. And they're going back and forth between this and the highway. So I think I'll just do the whole Daryl thing. Daryl's looking around the hallway, trying to find a way out, avoiding detection. He goes around a corner. Sherry walks up on him and basically he almost about to punch in the face, but he doesn't. And then she's like, hey, you need to go back to your cell and just do what they tell you to do so that you won't get in any more trouble than you already going to.
She's like, I'm warning
you. And he was like, nigga, whatever, and walked outside barefoot, and he tried to like see if he could find a bike with some keys or something. He couldn't. And right about then, all the niggas men start walking out and surrounding him, probably about 10 of them. And then nigga comes out carrying Lucille and whistling, and he asked, are we peeing our pants yet? And I mean, he looked limber, like he had been in the batter's box, stretching everything.
Getting ready for the ninth inning.
So that's going on, and in the meantime on the highway, Dwight is riding Daryl's bike. He hops off his bike because there's an obstruction in the highway, and there's been a car crash or whatever too.
Yeah, and the rim is fucked up.
No, the rim was fine when he stopped the bike.
Oh, initially. Okay,
yeah,
my
the
bad.
Rim was fine. It seemed to me that he was stopping it to walk it through whatever this fucking goop on the highway was.
Okay.
And a car had already crashed that it appeared had not avoided that goop. So he's walking the bike, and as he gets close to this bridge, he sees this, like, that it's this big pile of like walker goop, and there's all these like walkers with broken legs all over the ground and just laying down and almost like in a row, or you know, like they're just on the ground just strewn about. I think some of them were from the car wreck. But what happens is he looks up at the bridge and he sees, oh, there's a hole kind of in the wall of the bridge, and it looks like there's a puddle below that hole. Zombies must have been falling down that hole onto the street, the highway,
over and over
for a long ass time.
Right.
And right as he notices that, a fucking zombie falls out of nowhere. And that nigga, he threw that bike and dived. And that's when the bike actually got fucked up.
Okay.
He threw the bike and dived, and then he shot a zombie in the head that like was trying to eat him. And it fucked the whole bike up.
It was a black zombie too.
Yeah, it was a black zombie. Shout out to black zombies. Black zombies matter. So then,
black zombies.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. So then back to Negan and them. Negan is with, they got Daryl surrounded. Negan's got Lucille, and you know, he's completely full of swag. Just Jeffrey Dean Morgan's a revelation. That's all.
Yes.
He really is. Yeah, he the best.
So he says, who are you? And one of his men answers Negan. And he asks another one, who are you? And he says Negan, which explains all the way back to when Rick and them thought they had killed Negan.
Mm-hmm.
When he asked the dude who he was, and he said he was Negan, and he blew his fucking brains out. And I guess Rick thought mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently Negan is everywhere because all these niggas are Negan. So yeah, you know, the guys all say, I'm Negan and shit. And then, Negan tells Daryl, you failed my test. He was like, your life was about to get real sweet, but now you done fucked that up by leaving your cell. Which makes me wonder, do you think the whole thing was orchestrated? Mm-hmm. Do you think Fat Joey left the cell unlocked on purpose?
Yeah.
All right.
He may have.
Okay. What about you, Sterling?
No, yeah, I think he definitely did. Ain't nobody trying to fuck up Negan's ass.
Okay, so then this is my next question, because I believe that too. Do y'all think Dwight and Daryl walking in on Sherry's pregnancy test was also set up.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Negan is a psychological mastermind, dog. I think he's fucking crazy as shit, but he's always fucking with people. And
no,
I think
you gotta call him crazy. I think he's just a complicated man.
Yeah, I think he's a complicated, diverse human being. Okay, you know, he reminds me of our Overlord Trump.
Well, I'm not politically correct here. He crazy.
He really does feel like Trump, though. It's like I don't know how they called it ahead of time, but he feels like a huge metaphor for Trump. I'm sorry.
Somehow,
but
he's a more personable Trump, though.
I mean, he got more charisma. I'll give him that.
More charisma.
But if Trump came out with Lucille, I feel like people would be not too. They'd be like, I don't know.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Maybe we need to do what he has to say. So anyway,
That means in about like 5 hours, Trump's going to bring out Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. He's going to bring out Hillary, Obama, Michelle, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren.
Jill Stein and shit, she crying.
Yeah, who would be Trump's baseball bat lineup? That's what I want to know now.
He have them all lined up too.
Right. Who would be his lineup? So then he basically tells Daryl, like, look, it's three choices. You already got the choices because Dwight told me he told you, but let me repeat them. You either work for me or you get on the fence and you work for me as a dead man. I'll put you on one of them poles. You'll be stripping for the rest of your life. Or
at the pyramids.
Right. Or you become one of them fucking interns with the shirts and you have to work for points. And he was like, but you'll wish you was dead. And Daryl doesn't say anything. And Negan goes, screw it. And acts like he's going to hit him with the bat. But he stops just short of hitting Daryl. And he sees Daryl didn't flinch. And he laughs. And he's like, you know, he's impressed with it. He's like, I like you. You don't scare easy. He's like, and lucky for you, Lucille's not thirsty today. But I am. And looked him dead in his eyes. And then he was like, so I'm going to get me something to drink. And walks off. Yo, man, he's so good. Because, like, every time he's on the screen, I'm either laughing or I'm terrified or both.
Right.
Yep.
Like I didn't know what he was going to do to Daryl. I thought he was going to do, like, well, I'm just going to hit you in your hand or whatever. But he was like, but I am. Oh, I'm going to get me something to drink. And walks off.
I know. He's like, doo-doo-doo-doo.
To which then his men beat the fuck out of Daryl.
With the utmost haste.
Yeah, man. I was talking to somebody and they were like, yeah, you know, I just can't. I'm not so. Are we supposed to be afraid of Negan? Because he letting people off light. I mean, he let Daryl off light. I was like, what, an ass whooping?
Nigga whistled and like 10 niggas beat somebody's ass.
Right. When the 10 person ass whooping ever been light? Like, matter of fact, you're saying he's so scary that if anything less than bashing your brains in with a bat is getting off light. That's actually the scariest nigga on the show ever then. Mm-hmm. Ugh. People are weird. Anyway.
Rip the nigga's neck out and I'm still not scared of that nigga.
Right. I still like, you can still reason with Rick. Like, he don't want to kill you. Negan, I'm just like, man, I don't know what the fuck. He kill you because it's Tuesday. I don't know what the rules are in his world.
He kill you because he only does that point system and he can't go past 26.
Yeah. You in negative points, son. He has the mob of people beat up Daryl. Back on the highway, Dwight has broken the front tire of Daryl's bike, which he's now pushing, and he sees the guy who he stole the eggs, lettuce, and tomato from. And the guy's fighting a zombie, and he fights it off and stabs it with a knife, and Dwight runs and tackles that motherfucker from behind. Back in the compound, Sherry walks up to Daryl's cell, and obviously you can't see her, she's outside the door, but she essentially apologizes and says she is sorry for how shit turned out, and she remembers when he told her that she would be sorry and he was right, and then she walks off. Back on the highway, Dwight is walking to Eggman. We never got his name. I guess Eggman, just Egg Avatar guy.
Robotnik, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. Dr. Robotnik is being walked back towards the Savior's compound at gunpoint. And Dwight is basically like, man, you ran. This is stupid. You got to go back. You got to pay the price. And Buddy finally just got fed all the way the fuck up. And he turns around and he was like, hey, we used to be cool, but now you tripping, dog, working for the man. You let this shit change you. You voting Republican now.
I know we ain't cool no more. Somebody said his name was Gordon.
Gordon, there you go. Okay. He says, remember what he did to you, to your wife? And Dwight was like, why you bringing up old shit, man? And Buddy was like, dog, I remember when you used to be cool, you used to have feelings, you used to be a guy that people respect and shit. And now you out here basically being these little punk ass dude, man. What are you doing? And Dwight said, man, it's nowhere else to go. It's nowhere to run. Everything's his or will be. Cause Negan is spreading his influence like Genghis Khan, you know, like think about it. Everything, I mean, he's just taking over more and more shit. So where do you run? Like, that's if you true. Find sanctuary, can you really be sure that the saviors won't knock on your door one day and he'll show up and be like, oh, I remember you.
Right.
So he's like, everything's his or will be, and we don't really have a choice. And but it was like, that's some bullshit. We do got a choice. Thug swooped in with a baseball bat and a smile, and we gave up everything. That's so many of us and only one of him, so why are we living like this? By the way, this is some good acting, man, because that dude, he sold that line. He's like, why are we living like this? And Dwight was basically like, come on, man, just keep walking. And Buddy was like, look, when I first got to the sanctuary, it was me and my wife Maria. We survived all the monsters, and you know, we thought we knew how to fight monsters. So I know you feel, I know deep down you're not this person that you're trying to be right now. And he got down on his knees. He's like, this is the last time I'm kneeling. You got to kill me. And then Dwight was like, get up, man. And he was like, no, pull the trigger, I'm done. And he was like, man, if you don't get up, I'ma kill all your friends and put them on the fence, and I'ma fucking anybody you smile at and talk to and care about, I'ma fuck them up too and give them, put them in a cell and feed them shit sandwiches. And Buddy was like, all right then, and got up.
Why you so extra?
He was like, damn, nigga.
I ain't know we ain't playing games no more, my bad.
Right. So
you're serious, ain't you?
So Buddy starts walking back towards to Savior's camp, and of course Dwight is like fucked up at this point. I mean, he's a zombie, almost fell on him, he's tackled a nigga in the street, like he's just limping and he's all fucked up. And he's you know, and then he has this moment of reflection and pulls a gun up and shoots Gordon in his back. My man Ty,
I'm so let down by this.
Yeah. Oh, you were let down by it? What'd you want him to do?
Shoot him in the head.
Mm. Oh yeah. See, that's the thing. At the time, we couldn't see where he shot him. To be honest.
Yeah. Like when he shot him, I was like, damn, that's a good man right there.
Yeah.
There's still some hope left in him. And then you get to the end, I'm like, bro, yeah. What the fuck?
Well, now here's the thing. Okay. All right. So I've been thinking about this. One, he shot him, and my man Ty hit me up and was like, "How do we know he shot him?" I was like, "Pretty sure I heard the body drop on my audio."
Right.
Yeah, that's one thing about closed caps. Closed caps, like, body falls, body drops.
Yeah, it's like, what other thing would he have done with the gun and just him? And but at any rate, he did definitely shoot him. But yeah, we didn't know where and all that stuff. So he shoots him, and my thing was, what's the proof that you're gonna bring back the Negan? Because the whole Negan don't seem like the type that you could just be like, he either A, got away, or don't worry, I killed him. Like, Negan seemed like the type to be like, well, then you owe me some points then, too. You know? So, yeah, at any rate, he shoots him and shit. And I think we cut the commercial break. Because, you know, Buddy basically hit the, you ain't got to hit me but once. and left Dwight there like Tina Turner eating that cake.
For real.
Back at the compound in the stairway, Dwight smokes a cigarette with Sherry for old time's sake. And I was thinking like, oh, they gonna make out or something. He's gonna
they
try
was,
to make
they
them.
They were talking like coworkers. Like they was on for that 15-minute lunch break.
For real.
They was like, hey girl, how your reports? My reports going fine. How your reports doing? My reports going fine. Your department cool? My department cool, girl. We just chilling.
Yeah. He asked if Negan was good to her, and she was like, mm-hmm. Makes me come every night. She then, I mean, essentially a cuckold, right? She,
oh, Lord.
Look, I didn't say it.
Nah, you were right. You did say it.
I didn't say it, okay? The internet taught me those words.
X-Hamster's top rated talking those words.
Yeah, X-Hamster taught me that section.
Because it's the first thing that pop up on every porn site.
Right. It's even worse with him because he don't even get to see the sex. It's just the aftermath.
You gotta get journal entries of the sex.
Yeah, it's like you a cuckold, but the dude that is fucking your girl is just your manager at work, and you don't see no tapes. He just tell you, he just show up. So then she asked if he was happy, and he said, "Yeah, I did the right thing. It's a hell of a lot better than being dead." And she said, "Yeah," and then he walked off. And he did borrow one of her cigarettes.
Yeah, that good old smoke break.
Mm-hmm. Swisher sweets. Back in the cell, Dwight gave Daryl another dog food sandwich, and Daryl had enough. He was not satisfied with the fine cuisine he was being served, and slammed his sandwich up against the wall. He was sandwich slamming mad. Shout out to my man K-Bags.
He's finally gonna leave that bad Yelp review.
Yeah, no five stars on the cuisine.
Y'all get zero stars.
And Dwight was like, nigga, you throwing sandwiches? You throwing sandwiches? And he was like, you know, I know you mad because you got your friend killed. I know because I got my friend killed, Tina. We was like, we both the same. And Daryl was like, man, fuck you. And Dwight took a picture of the Polaroid of Glenn getting his head smashed, after he got his head smashed. And stuck it to the wall. And was like, think about that, homeboy. And he closed the door on Daryl and walked away. And a new song started playing about crying over you. And then Daryl started crying like it was some Adele. And
like a little bitch.
Crying like a bitch. And Dwight listened to Daryl crying and then walked away. And I think Dwight probably thought, okay, he's broken.
And I think it affected him too, because you could see his demeanor change kind of just listening. Mm-hmm. So he does have feelings, like, and emotions and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And also, when Rick and Aaron ran up on Negan's crew when they was at that place and they was making that exchange, they had Polaroids up too of heads, and they was like, what the fuck are these Polaroids doing up here with these bad heads in? Probably they loved ones,
right? Yeah, Negan probably did that
to everybody, right?
Like, so if you ever had that moment where you think, you know, you better than this, it's like, nah, don't forget, you know. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Those are probably those people's loved ones.
Right, because they walked in and, like, literally above everybody's bed was the same, like, a Polaroid, just like the one he gave him, taped with Bad's heads in. Everybody was like, ew, this is disgusting.
Right. Well, apparently it worked, because the next morning when Dwight opened up the cell, Daryl had thrown up, and the picture of Glenn was laying there face up. And
had a long night of crying
and a dog food sandwich. And so he got Daryl up, led him into that nice ass room he was looking at, which apparently is Negan's room. Mm-hmm. In the lounge, he basically is confronted by Negan, who's sitting in there with Lucille chilling. And he offers Daryl some water and says, oh, you probably can't drink it because your mouth is swollen up like a baboon's ass. Daryl, get the man a straw. And he's like, you see that guy? Talking about Daryl. He hustles.
Not Daryl.
I mean, talking about Dwight. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. He told Dwight to get him a straw. Dwight and Daryl, these names.
Right.
White people, come up with some new names. Y'all wonder why we call our kids LaDainian and DeBrickishaw. Anyway.
So they can stand out.
Because ain't no two LaDainians. Anyway, he says, you see that guy, he hustles. I like hustle, but believe it or not, things weren't always cool between us. D, here he worked for points, him and his super hot wife and his super hot sister, her super hot sister. Sis was sick, she needed meds, so then she fell behind on points. And so then Negan asked her to marry him. She was like, I gotta think about it. And then he was like, I'll take care of you in sickness and health, blah, blah, blah. I'm a stand up guy. And she told him, I gotta think about it. So then apparently while she was quote unquote thinking about it, Dwight stole all the meds and absconded from camp with his super hot wife and his super hot sister-in-law. Negan sent people after him. People got fucked up, you know, cost him an arm and a leg, he said, which if we remember that episode, I think it literally cost him an arm and a leg. Somebody got their arm bit off and shit.
And somebody lost the leg. Yeah. Cause he was like, cut it off.
So, he basically said, but Dwight manned up and came back and that impressed him, but Odette was still old and Lucille, you know how she is. So Dwight begged him not to kill Sherry, to which Negan was like, okay, well, I'll kill you. And then Sherry said, don't kill him, I'll marry you. And he said, that's a start. He was like, cause Sherry is super hot. So instead of killing Dwight, he burned Dwight's face and married Sherry. And after all that, Dwight still got on board with the plan. And now he's this upstanding gentleman before you, you know, now he's out here, my right hand man and shit. And all that stuff was, kind of like stuff that if you would pay attention, you could have pieced it all together via this episode. Mm-hmm. But I thought this scene was very important, not because I felt like look at the writers telling us what we already know. No, I think only an idiot hadn't figured out what happened. I think what they were showing us was, look at Negan, he even emasculates his most trusted people. Like, his thing is emasculation and intimidation as examples to others. The whole thing with Rick's crew, he essentially killed people to show a point to Rick. Like, he was gonna make, even at that, and even after that, was gonna make Rick cut off his own son's arm. Like, it's more about the emasculation of their leader, because now the people that are left, they saw the look in Rick's eyes and they saw him bow down to Negan. And this is a man that at this point they had, you know, this without whether Negan knew it or not, but I'm assuming he, to some extent, he felt it. This is their leader and a man they had all looked to for solutions, bowing down to me. You know, he's not a martyr. I didn't kill him and make him a martyr and his people would fight on in his name. No, I just punked his ass out. And essentially that's what he was doing with Dwight in this situation, was punking Dwight's ass in front of Daryl to show, this is the man I am. You know, it's not like this is such a, like, you don't get the choices of other things. It's die, do this shit, or be a slave. These are the things you have. So let me punk this dude in front of you, because I think that'll make you bow down as well, you know. He basically said to Daryl, like, I'm gonna give you the offer one more time. What's your name? And Daryl didn't say shit. And he was like, okay, I'm gonna ask again. What's your name? And Daryl just said, Daryl. And Dwight was like, I don't think you understand. And Negan was like, shut up. Nope, it's fine.
Dwight tried to help so much.
He was trying to help so bad. And for the record, I don't think Dwight was truly trying to help Daryl. I mean, because in a way, he did owe Daryl probably for letting him go, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think he was truly trying to help him. I think Dwight has always been in this to prove that what he did was what he had to do and there was no other choice. And Daryl's actively showing him there's another choice. You know, like, you just weren't strong enough to make it and pay whatever the penalty was for going out to live on your own and be like, fuck Negan. And so I think to Dwight, he needed to see Daryl break to prove that, well, anyone would break. It's not me. It's, you know, what man wouldn't?
Everybody would do it.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. That's why he was like, no. And so Negan said, no, it's his choice. It's not my fault. He made a dumbass choice. And they threw Daryl back in the cell, and Dwight was yelling at him. You know, he was like, you're going to wind up in this room or hanging on the fence, and like yelling at him. And Daryl said, I get why you did it, why you took it. You were thinking about someone else, and that's why I can't. And my guess is he's saying he can't do it. Cause basically he's saying you took the deal because you didn't want Sherry to die. So he's like, the reason I can't take the deal is because I got Glenn killed. So if I die, then I deserve to die. You know, I think he feels guilty about that shit. That's my guess. And then Dwight later goes outside to look at the fence and throws a bottle on the ground that I guess those slave interns got to clean up. I don't know why he did that. That's such a wasteful. Anyway.
Like, that was some white kid shit,
right? Like, you can fill that back up with water. That's like when white kids take their controllers and throw them against the wall and break them, and you be like, are you crazy?
Like, that ain't the off-brand kind, dog. That's like the one to come with the set. You know, that's $50 to replace, right?
That's, yeah, a whole $65. What the fuck you doing, Gabriel?
Right. Gabriel. So then you see the interns putting up walkers on the fence, and it's revealed that the most recent walker they put up is Buddy, that Gordon, that got shot in the back by Dwight, and you can even see the bullet hole in his back and everything. And my question was like, well, how the fuck did he get him back? Because Dwight was in a bad way. Like, well, he shot that man. I was like, well, ain't no way he dragging him back, because he can barely limp forward. Like, I don't know if he waited for him to change and just kept walking in front of him, or if they went back to go get him, or because he didn't have a bike, he had no transportation. I don't know what happened. At any rate, Dwight slowly turns away and walks inside. Rest in peace to Daryl's bike, sitting in the middle of the street somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What are you guys looking forward to next week?
Daryl dying.
Yeah,
I just want to die, yo. I'm so tired of this nigga.
Okay. Karen, what you looking forward to?
Yeah, I think Daryl's gonna die, and I think when they showed kind of preview clips, we're gonna go back to Rick and the crew.
Yeah, I think the way they've written this has been perfect. I know there were some people that were complaining about this episode in particular, but it's one of those things, you know, and it happens with this show. You have to do the groundwork to have a payoff, and the groundwork is we don't know how to take Negan down unless we get an inside glimpse at what the fuck goes on. If not, then it just seems like later, if they do win, which I assume they will win, it seems like, well, they just got lucky. I mean, and we're going to have a whole lot of, how the fuck did they know this? And how did they know that? Well, you need these inner workings, you know? Now we know Daryl has working knowledge of the compound. Dwight has working knowledge of the compound. We know Dwight, as much as he's working there, he's also a victim of this man. He's just a victim that has been broken and assimilated. But we don't know that he's irredeemable. We don't know that it's impossible to use him, even if, you know what I mean? Like, and not just Dwight, but in general, everyone around there probably has a gripe with this guy because of how he runs his shit. You know, this thing where people just take from you and shit. There's gotta be a ton of people that are like, yo, man, I don't like this. There has to be a better way. And if the Alexandrian crew can kind of show them that there's a better way, maybe we end up getting, you know, getting some help from the inside, because as Sterling said, I don't think you take down Negan without help from the inside.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my guess.
Like they'll make it out. I mean, they got a nigga with a tiger on their side, so.
Yeah, I think, I mean, shit, we still don't know what's up at Hilltop.
Mm-mm.
You know, next week's episode is 90 minutes, so maybe we'll get some Hilltop too. Find out what happened to Maggie and that baby. So I mean, it's a lot, you know, to going on, and I'm excited for next week. Let's get into the feedback. We got a few emails. Jabari says, wait, hold on, let me make sure this is from, oh wait, that's from last week. All right, cool, sorry Jabari. All right, Evelyn says, hello Rod, Karen, and honored guest. The title of this email is, it's Fuck Dwight Forever. Forever and everything. We got another great episode from Walking Dead. They stay playing with my emotions. I was trying to figure out what was the purpose of having the Walker Garden. What purpose does that serve? Any thoughts? Yeah, I think we kind of or at least I speculated on it. My guess is that it's just another defense. And it definitely would slow down any, like, you wouldn't be able to directly attack them, and you wouldn't be able to take vehicles through there either.
Right.
So that's my guess. Like maybe if people would kind of come through the cover at night or something. I can't wait till they get back to Alexandria, and something tells me it's not looking good for our girl Michonne. Yo, she was looking super stressed in them previews. Like, I don't know what they plan on doing, but she was just looking stressed out. And she went and got a gun. I don't know.
That's Andrea's old gun.
It looked like Andrea's old wife rifle.
Right, that she had hid up underneath the fireplace. Like, she pressed the button like Batman that shit. But I was like, where the fuck this gun come from?
If you could name Andrea's rifle, what would you name it, Karen?
I have no idea.
What about you, Sterling?
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton. That's a good name.
Aha, that's an excellent name.
I think none of this Michonne's just got to be named Beyonce though.
But definitely. At least Serena Williams.
Yeah, yeah. It used to be named Taylor Swift, you know.
used to be named White Feminism. Now it's named Afro Girl or some shit.
Now it's named Black Girl Magic.
You're right.
Oh shit. She says. In the meantime, free my man Daryl. Negan is still the reigning defending champ of Petty, and fuck Dwight forever. Thanks for your awesome recaps, Notoriously E. Thank you,
baby.
Yeah, when he hit that, by the way, I didn't do it any justice, and I didn't feel like playing the actual YouTube clip, but when he hit that, but she is super hot. So petty. So petty, bro.
The way he was saying that shit, I'd be fucking in tears,
bro. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's so good, man. If y'all don't watch the show, at least like YouTube a clip of him so you can hear it, because I can't do it justice. I don't even do a Negan impression because his shit is so perfect. Mm-hmm. He the man for this. Still ain't cussing. Amazing. He can only say Jesus Christ and that goddamn.
And a few shits and that's it.
Negan and Shelley for the recap of The Walking Dead. Good evening, Rod, Karen, and guest. If you have had a bunch of emails like this, you cannot read, you can leave that out. I just want to say that the sex through coercion from the threat of death or the threat of death for a loved one is rape. Telling a girl that is diabetic that the only way she is guaranteed to get her medicine is if she marries you, read, have sex with you, is extremely problematic. It appears that point system, as it's shown on the show so far, is really not an option. Also, it looks like Negan won't let you go if you try to leave on your own free will. Sure. I think, you can say through the circumstances being dire, coercing somebody to the point where they feel like they don't have a choice but to have sex with you to be for protection, could be rape. The problem with it is that, as it's presented, nobody in this society seems to give a fuck about that. Like, ain't nobody writing, you know, Jezebel.com not writing up no pieces about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like he's not a good guy. Just when I said that he understands consent, I'm talking about in the case of Dwight.
Yeah,
because he just said, Dwight, you can sleep with any of these women as long as they say yes. That's not under the threat of death. That's not under the threat of you won't get meds or anything like that. That particular instance was not him saying go rape somebody. And I think that's important to point out, as opposed to, of course, you know, Negan telling somebody you're going to die from diabetes unless you marry me. Yeah, that might seem to be a little more fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can tell, like, Negan on that raping shit, because, like, right after he said this shit to Dwight, he says, like, we take what we want or some shit, like, right after.
Yeah, you take what you earn or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, it ain't just because he don't punch somebody in the face and abuse them and have sex with them, don't make it not rape. I mean,
right.
Yeah, if you literally control somebody's livelihood and you go, I'm going to cut you off, or you put them in some type of indentured servitude, earning situation where they can't possibly earn the medicine they need to live, yeah, that's definitely rape, you know. So,
you know, like a scale from like Cosby to Castro, he's a solid 7.
Yeah, I didn't read, I didn't think anyone was arguing that, to be honest. I hope not.
And we all understood that nigga was like super rapey.
Yeah, like even when he said marry, it was like, you mean fuck? Cause you were talking about how super hot she was. Like, it wasn't like I was right. in love with her.
And then he was talking about his ex-wife. So all of a sudden, when I take her, yeah, that basically annuls your marriage.
Yeah, it sounds like he has a harem of some sort because he's the guy who can offer the most protection in this new society. Yeah, this new hierarchy he set up. It doesn't sound like he's like, and that was gonna be my wife. It sounds like I marry people out of as a what do you call it, as a contractual agreement that I will protect them. So they are essentially trading probably sex, whatever cleaning and cooking skills they have, and labor, that kind of shit, they are trading for protection from me. That sounds like what he set up. Yeah, I mean, even the white's wife did it to keep the white from getting killed. Like, that's not yeah, that's something, right? It appears the point system as it's shown on the show so far is not really an option. Also, it looks like Negan won't let you go, you know. Yeah, it was a little unsettling hearing people comment that Shelley would have chosen men like Negan over Dwight anyway on The Talking Dead. I just wanted to mention that. Oh yeah, I know what you're trying to say, but clearly whoever wrote that was talking about how hot Jeffrey Dean Morgan is, and that's just some shit y'all gonna have to get used to, because everybody's gonna say that all season of, I don't care if he's a bad boy, I want me some of that Negan, because they think Jeffrey Dean Morgan is fine.
Right.
People have written into our show to talk about how fine Jeffrey Dean Morgan is.
And he is.
Clearly, they do not want to date with Lucille. They do not actually want to give a fucking psychopath some sex, but they understand that it's a TV show, and that's a joke that they're making about wanting to get with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I think we can allow for that comedy.
Yeah, it is what it is. Like, I'm not saying I want to be with Negan, but if Jeffrey Dean Morgan comes in my bedroom, please put a scarf.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't think it was I don't think anybody was going, rape is okay, you know. Have a great rest of your evening. I'm just saying. All right. You too. I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan, the actor, looks like people think he looks better than the actor playing Dwight, and there's gonna be a whole lot of he can beat me with that bat any day.
And they ain't talking about that baseball bat,
right? I'm just gonna we make jokes all the time on this show. I think you know, if unless you just want to opt out of listening to this or listening to Talking Dead, you're gonna end up dealing with some crass jokes that people make, but they don't actually, the point is they don't believe it because it's a joke,
right?
Day walking the soil Polaroid. Isis writes in, hi, this is Lucked Out. I thought this was another funny episode, but dark humor instead. When Dwight stuck the Polaroid of Glenn's head into the cell, it reminded me of the pictures on the wall before Glenn stabbed the sleeping during the raid. Yep, Karen brought that up. At first, I thought it was a trophy wall, which justified killing the saviors. But what if the guy was like Daryl, holding on Polaroids of dead friends and reminding himself to comply? It isn't like he had a chance to say different. It's even more gray to kill the coerced and the evil. Yeah. Yep. Can't wait till next episode. Rick looks wrecked. He went from Cop Rick to Rick Tater to Farmer Rick to Crazy Rick, and now this. Negan better watch it when Rick swings back up again. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how. I would love for that episode to be them just like yielding and submitting and just trying to survive, you know, Negan raiding the place and shit. And then afterwards, they just have like a secret, like, all right, so this is how we're going to get them. And I'm like, oh, let's go. I would love for it to end that way.
That'd be dope.
It's going to be so interesting to see how it goes. And I think that Rick is broken, but I also do think that even if he hasn't told anybody yet, I do think he has some type of a plan. I don't think he told anybody whatever the plan is.
Yeah.
So this is going to be interesting.
Yep. Happy election day, guys. This is from Emil. I hope by the time you read this, you will have President-elect Clinton, not Trump. If it's a big deal here in Canada with us wondering if we should close the border or what.
Ain't that the truth, honey?
On the more important things, at the start of the episode, I hated Dwight and hoped he would die first when Daryl got to exact his revenge. But by the end of the episode, I was very sympathetic to Dwight and began to doubt if Daryl would ever leave his cell. Actually, I was rooting for Daryl to kneel and just answer the question, who are you? She, Negan, of course. What's going on, my Negan? Shit, nothing, my Negan. Only that's we can say that.
I'm like, Daryl, just do it, dog. Like, Rick is a bitch-ass nigga. You saw him be a bitch-ass nigga. He took you as far as you can go. Negan is the next step, yo. Sometimes Steve Jobs gotta die for Tim Cook to come in.
That's how I knew the show worked on me, because I was rooting for Daryl to say Negan. That's when I was like, damn, the show worked. Of course he didn't. He just has too much integrity. I wonder if the writers will make him suffer more or find some way to give him a believable escape. I don't believe they will. I believe they are setting us up to see another group member suffer to bring Daryl low. I think Negan will snatch someone up and give Daryl a choice, much like what he did to Rick. As for Dwight, his plot is pretty compelling. You can see his complete hatred of Negan. I also think he feels some remorse for his double cross of Daryl earlier, and that's part of the reason he badly wants Daryl to comply and end his torture. I agree. I do wonder.
Yeah, I think they'll both, like, everything that happened around 7B. But I think Daryl will be the major death in 7B. It just makes the most sense at this point. Cause I thought he was going to die in the opener.
You know what I was thinking, though? What if he doesn't die, but his capture is how they use, is the one thing that motivates Carol to get on board with going up in that, up in the savior camp?
See, I would like to say they wouldn't do that because of that shitty writing. Cause they already had Carol save everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the walking
dead. Well, I don't say save everybody. I actually mean just to get on board with.
Just join.
Right. Yeah. She's been going through PTSD.
I don't think she's going to go in there. Nah, that shit's done. I don't think you can do that twice. And but also, it would be interesting if she died to save Daryl. That would be interesting as fuck. Man, people would be hurt, but that would be a good ass. Like, y'all like both these motherfuckers, right? Mm-hmm. Y'all wanted Carol and Daryl? One thing missing from this episode was a broader female presence at Negan's compound. We already know that woman play a key fighting role among the saviors, but the only woman in this episode was Dwight's ex, now Negan's current wife. That whole situation, plus the fact that he tried to reward Dwight with any woman he wanted if she says yes, makes me wonder how this group views women in the group. Are they into some retrograde caveman type shit? Keep up the good work, and hopefully you aren't doing it in Trump's America. That's a good point. We still don't really know the role of women, because last year it sounded like the women there were pretty competent and shit. And now it's looking more like, hold on, let me make a new session. But it's looking more like the women are, at least some of the women are in some sort of subservient sexual situations or something. Or maybe he just, like a cult leader, maybe he actually cuts off all sex for men. Like, I control who gets sex, too, you know, as a means to control everybody else.
That's true. And also, maybe one of those things where, you know, since they, quote unquote, all are Negan, these women have, quote unquote, proved themselves. So he allows them to go out, you know, there and fight and things like that. But that's not going to be everybody's, quote unquote, role. So I guess for some people, they're more traditional and, you know, and I'm not trying to be funny. For some of these women, they might not have been forced. Some of these women, but like, look, I want to stay here and cook and clean and do this shit. I don't want to be out here doing hard labor. I mean, some of those women were forced. Don't get me wrong, but I do think some of those women willingly went.
Well, we are trying to measure sexual consent by our modern day sensibilities, right? Obviously outside of this zombie apocalypse thing.
Correct.
But even going back to like the olden days, quote unquote, there was a time when you had to get your protection from being married to a man, and especially the way this shit seems set up, where like Negan seems to probably have multiple women under his protection because of who he is. Right. So yeah, that, I mean, as a human being, if someone told you in this type of fucked up situation, I can offer you safety. All you gotta do is be with me, as one of my many, concubine. There's a lot of people that would take that deal, men and women. just for the safety of it. But as I think Chiz wrote in, it is him running the system that puts you in the funnel towards those decisions. So right. You know, it's like no matter how it works out, he's rigged it so that probably most women end up you know, wanting to be with him as the most viable option, and most men end up wanting to be under his leadership in his organization because that's the most viable option. So, you know, he's still a fucking weird ass dictator to even come up with that shit. Mm-hmm. All right, back to this email. Last one. EVE says, hi, Rod and Karen. Feedback, for EVE. All right. I really like this episode because I got to understand how the hierarchy of Sanctuary works and how it's allowed to continue. Yes, there is only one of Negan versus hundreds of saviors, but he's the Donald Trump of the zombie apocalypse. A better looking, less orange one, but still a legend in his own mind type of guy. He brainwashed a handful of bullies into believing that they can live like kings as long as they follow him. Negan's army were probably all the fringe of society before society broke down, and you see this as a way to feel powerful. Just look at them. Some of them look like they never took baths regularly. Well, one thing I did want to add about the Negan thing that I find interesting. I think the reason that Negan's leadership program works right now is because he allows other people to be the bully they want to be. Yes. And the reason they don't kill him as of yet is because killing him as that figurehead kind of fucks up the whole hierarchy of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's people can't wait to be led. And it's like, if people weren't so up their ass about shitting on this show, it would be so fun to listen to have the conversations about what leadership is and what a statement is on how much people want to be led. Because to me, that's all The Walking Dead really boils down to, is different styles of leadership versus different motivating factors for why people want to be led and who they choose to lead them. You know, where we were introduced to Rick's group first, so we naturally gravitate towards them as an audience because we have more experience. These other people from outside all have these, you know, Terminus was a response to being invaded essentially and looted and raped and pillaged, and they said, fuck it, from now on we trap and eat people, we don't trust nobody,
right?
You know, like the saviors, you know, appear to be, you know, almost like Germany. You know, we're losing, we need leadership. Hey, this dude comes in, he got a weird ass code, but he rules with an iron fist, we are behind him now. You know, the King Ezekiel thing, where it's almost like the United States, where you're just providing people something to believe in with this like presidential figure, this almost royalty figure. But at the end of the day, he's behind doing deals behind everybody's back to keep up appearances, you know, to keep people out of war and shit. Like you're still kind of like, it's just all these different ways of navigating this universe via leadership versus following. And I think that shit is pretty deep, to see how it plays out in this world and which powerhouses become, you know, who becomes strong and who becomes weak because of the leadership decisions that they make.
True.
But yeah, I think Negan would work the same way like a Genghis Khan works, or those, you know, when people say like it wouldn't work, it's like, well then how did Genghis Khan make it work?
Yeah, not trying to be funny. It's like all these Stalin and all these people that gained this massive amount through history, they didn't just appear out the blue.
Right.
Somebody followed them for them to amass this much power.
Yeah, historically, there are people who are ruled by fear.
Yes, sir.
You know, we talk about North Korea and shit all the time. Yeah, there's some places that rule like that. Anyway, I wanted to feel sorry for Dwight after this episode, but now I hope he dies with a crossbow up his ass. Yeah, I'm not going to front. I think Emil said he felt sorry for Dwight. I didn't feel sorry for him. I don't know if I was supposed to or not. I really couldn't tell if the show was even trying to make me feel sorry for him, honestly.
Yeah, it was trying to make you feel sorry for him, yeah.
Yeah.
You think it was? Okay. Yeah. I honestly couldn't tell.
Yeah,
like,
that was the big thing where he talked about his wife in front of him, trying to, and you even said it.
But see, okay, go ahead.
When he was talking about his wife in front of Daryl and the way he was looking at him, and to an extent, maybe you could just see the hatred in his eyes. Like, he's not over that shit. Like, that shit still fucks with him.
Yeah, he's not broken. I'll say that. Like, but feeling sorry for him, nah, it didn't make me feel sorry. And I don't think the show wanted me to feel sorry for him. I think it did want me to empathize with him a little bit more.
Yes.
But it didn't want, I don't think it wanted me to feel sorry for him, because they didn't show him struggling with the decisions that he had to make, really. Like, even when he shot Buddy in the back, you know what I mean? It was more of a mercy killing rather than a, like, fuck Negan, this is against him, or, you know, damn, Negan, why you make me go after this guy? My friend, we used to be friends. It wasn't, he didn't have those moments. He never felt conflicted about locking Daryl up. And like I said, I personally believe his struggle was, I need to break Daryl to prove that the reason I didn't break because I'm a punk. I broke because anyone would break under these conditions. That's what I think it was. So I didn't feel sorry for him. And I didn't think the show wanted me to, but I don't know. I feel like if they wanted me to feel sorry for him, they could have just done it in 100 different ways that would have worked. You know, like showing him struggling. Like if he would have slammed the door on Daryl and then started crying himself, that's a way to make me be like, oh, he's fucked up too. You know what I mean? This shit just made me feel like he at work. You know what I mean?
He punched like, the clock, yeah.
Like he don't give a fuck either. He wants his sandwich he takes from people in the camp. He, you know, like, I don't feel sorry for him. And I, there's nothing that they did to make me feel sorry for him. I have zero respect for this dude. He actually managed to escape me and had an opportunity to start fresh somewhere else. I understand the uncertainty of taking Daryl's offer to join the Alexandrians, but they could have gotten far away from that town. But he went crawling back to Negan because he was too scared to make it on because of his on his own because of his precious wife. And now he's a huge bully. There should be a huge NB on his forehead that stands for Negan's bitch. I hope Negan knocks Sherry up with triplets and names them all Negan Jr. I hope he names one of them Dwight. If I was Daryl, I probably would have said I'm Negan because I'm not about that easy street Alpo life. Yeah, the way my survival is set up.
Right.
But I respect Daryl for deciding not to join Negan because he didn't want to shit on Glenn's memory.
Yeah, because I think for Daryl, he was like, I had a crazy ass abusive daddy. I had a crazy ass abusive brother. What the fuck can you do? I mean, you can't break me no more than I have probably previously been broken in the past.
Everybody keeps saying that. Here's my question. What if he wants to die?
That's true.
You know, what if he really thinks I would rather die? I want to die. I deserve to die. I took away a father from his child and wife because I didn't listen to these rules and I impulsively punched this dude. And one of my best friends is dead now. And it's cause shit, if anything, didn't Daryl know Glenn longer than Rick? Like, wasn't Daryl and them hanging with Glenn and Merle and all them motherfuckers before Rick even showed up? Is that the way it was?
I don't think so.
No.
So Daryl came along after Merle?
Yeah, they found him. Remember, they found him on the rooftop.
They found Daryl on the rooftop? Okay.
No, Merle.
They found Merle on the rooftop.
Nah, Merle wasn't Merle with the crew and then he got locked on the rooftop because they was like, fuck this nigga. They left his ass up there on the roof because he had to cut his own hand off.
Yeah, I do.
I feel like Daryl and Glenn knew, or at any rate, they go way back is my point. Glenn getting killed, had to fuck Daryl up.
Yes, they've known each other for a while.
Yeah, like since like episode one or some shit. Like that, he has to be fucked up. He got Glenn killed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like this isn't one of them situations where you could be like, nah, I kinda got hit. No, nigga, he was done for killing for the day. He said that Abe took 6 or 7 for the team, and the next thing you know, you punching him in the mouth, and Glenn's dead. It's your fault, nigga.
Okay, the chat room is saying that you right. They were saying that Daryl came back after Rick left Merle.
Right, yeah, yeah. Because apparently he had been with the group already. Saying that's how far they go back.
Okay, yeah.
That's so wild, man. Like, he got him killed. It's on him. Anyway, so if he wants to die, I could understand, man, feeling that guilty. I understand that, sir. Okay. Let's see. If I was Daryl, I probably would have said, okay, so yeah. She says, he at least could have played the game until he escaped. Dumb decision, but I still respect it. Negan also feels like the kind of dude that even if Daryl would have said, I'm Negan, he would have been watching him like a hawk.
And Daryl knows, so it's like, I'm not even gonna waste our time by pretending.
He would have been waiting for him to just step out of line a little bit.
A breakup, because he know how close he was to that group, so if he sees, he knows exactly where he's going.
It was gonna be some more test. You can't tell me that there wasn't any Dwight poo-poo in those Alpo sandwiches, but Daryl is a hick, so I bet he's eating worse. Another great episode, Evie. Thanks, Evie.
Thank you.
And I think that's everybody. Let me just double check.
Comments on the page?
Nah, that's for a Saturday show.
Okay.
Yeah, comments on the page is different. All right, man. Thank y'all so much. Make sure y'all go listen to Sterling's podcast, Gaming and Then Some. It's an excellent show.
One of my favorite podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Got the dope ass Sonic music when you hear it.
Yeah, we just got it redone too.
Oh, for real? Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was a tumultuous time, as you know. Desus versus Mero, or Desus and Kid Mero, Bodega Boys.
Yeah,
they have their dope ass theme song, and my wife slapped me in the face one day, and she just said like, "Oh, they have the best podcast song."
Wow.
And I was like, "Whoa!" Like. This is grounds for divorce. Like, I gotta go get me a white bitch now. And instead of getting a white bitch, I just hit FL5. And I said, I need a banger. And he said, I'll be right back. And he just put the finishing touches, and now we got the new version.
All right, for all problematic emails, just email Sterling straight up.
Yeah, please do. It's LuckyNO8706.
There you go.
Email. Yeah, just email my wife, not me.
I wasn't the one who said white bitch. That was him.
Well, tell Quita she ain't the only one getting violent. I did tell Roger I was gonna draw blood because he was trying to go brunch without me.
She did threaten me. What is going on with this show right now? Y'all are all Negan.
Yeah, I am Negan.
All right, guys, we'll be out. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you guys for listening to the show. Until then, my Negans. I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. What happened to my kiss?
Let's do it again.
All right. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.